From national news in D.C.
to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol,
this is your Capitol Connection.
And now, bringing the Capitol to you,
here's your host, Nate Graz.
And welcome to the program where we are bringing the Capitol to you today from the Nebraska Family Alliance Studio in Lincoln, talking about the issues that matter most, family, freedom, and life. We've got a great show today, a lot of interesting and important updates to get to, and of course, Christmas is quickly approaching, and that's where I want to start the show today as we are getting ready for Christmas and a time of celebration. Our very own governor, Pete Ricketts, had a beautiful and important message that he shared with the people of Nebraska last week at the annual Christmas tree lighting celebration that takes place in our state capitol. And he talked about preparing our hearts for Christmas and what that means and anticipating the coming of our Savior. And it was really, I found to be a profound and tender moment to have our governor really set all politics aside and just focus on the meaning of Christmas. And I found it to be very genuine. It's pretty special when you can have a governor delivering a Christmas message that sounds like it's coming straight from the pulpit, but instead it's coming from an elected politician. And it's a message worth sharing and repeating. So here is what Governor Ricketts shared earlier this week.
Season really isn't about those physical gifts that we're going to give to each other, even though that, of course, is part of the season and important. It really is much deeper than that. It goes back to when the prophet Isaiah said, make straight the paths of the Lord. Or John the Baptist said, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's about the coming of our Savior to save the world. Christ came and died for us. And this time of preparation, where we're preparing all these things, should also be a time where we're preparing our hearts. What are we doing to make sure we are in the Spirit by serving the people in our community who need our help, by loving those people who need our love? Because that is what the Spirit is about. As Mother Teresa said, at this Christmas, when Christ comes, will he find a warm heart? Are we preparing our hearts to welcome that grace from God? Are we preparing our hearts for the season? Are we using that grace to go out and serve the people in our community who need our help, whether it's at the People City Mission or maybe just helping out a neighbor? That is the real season of Christmas. And that's what we all should be about at this time of year, preparing our hearts and serving our fellow citizens. And one of the groups of people that we want to especially remember this time of year are our men and women who put on the uniform to defend our freedoms. They sacrifice quite a bit to protect us. As John F. Kennedy said half a century ago, a nation reveals itself not only by the men it produces, but by the men it honors, the men it remembers. So at this time of year, I'd ask all of you to keep in your prayers and remember the men and women who put on that uniform to protect us. They sacrificed much so that we can have our freedoms and liberties here.
Powerful and timely words from our governor, as well as an important reminder to keep all of the men and women in uniform who are sacrificing so much for the rest of us in our thoughts and prayers, especially during the holiday season. Now, from the touching and sentimental to the absurd, you know the children's cartoon VeggieTales, Bob the Tomato, Larry the Cucumber, teaching children Bible stories. Who doesn't love VeggieTales? Well, students in California who have declared VeggieTales racist and dangerous for children. That's right. The Christian children's cartoon VeggieTales has been labeled as dangerous and promoting racial stereotypes for making the villains colored by a group of students at a California college's annual whiteness forum. This forum comes from Cal State San Marcos. It's a project from a class titled The Communication of Whiteness, where students called various things racist, including the NFL, women who support President Trump, and yes, the popular animated cartoon that started back in 1993 and always ended with Bob the Tomato and Larry the Cucumber's tagline, "Remember kids, God made you special and he loves you very much." I grew up with VeggieTales, but I did not know that I was watching a dangerous and racist cartoon. And unsurprisingly, this came as a surprise to a lot of people. Because just to be very clear, in case you have never seen VeggieTales, in which all of the characters are vegetables, the good guys, Bob and Larry, are red and green, both of which are colors. Every character in the show is colored. This is where political correctness gets you. Who knows how many parents have been misled into showing their children VeggieTales, and unbeknownst to them, they were showing a terrible, racist, dangerous television show to children because the bad guys, just like the good guys and everyone else in the show, is colored. I mean, the whole point of the show is that these are humanized vegetables. What are the producers supposed to do? Just all of a sudden, whoever the bad guy is in that episode loses its vegetable-like color. I suppose they could always make the villain cauliflower. I don't think anyone really likes cauliflower, so perhaps that would be fitting. But needless to say, there won't be any showings of VeggieTales on college campuses in California anytime soon. So there you have it. And in other news that is just as troubling but with more serious consequences, a high school teacher in Virginia was fired for refusing to use a transgender-identified student's preferred pronouns. Peter Vlaming was a popular teacher at West Point High School, and a female student who had been in his class the previous year started identifying as a boy. She asked Vlaming to use her newly chosen male name and to use masculine pronouns when referring to her. This teacher did not agree with the student's transgender ideology that says a girl can be a boy. So the teacher, however, agreed to use the student's new chosen name out of respect for them, but tried to avoid using pronouns when referring to the transgender identified student. And so here we have a teacher who is agreeing to call a student by a different name because they've decided to go by a different name. And on two occasions, this teacher slipped up and referred to the student as her instead of he, even though he knew he as her throughout his entire time at the school. And for those two offenses and for refusing to sign a statement that he wouldn't refer to the student as a female, he was put on administrative leave. And now, after a contentious 4-hour hearing, the school board voted unanimously to terminate him from his position at the school. At this hearing in front of the school board, the teacher who was terminated read a statement where he explained, quote, "My religious faith dictates that I am to love and respect everyone, whether I agree with them or not, because we are all made in God's image." He also stated that the school district was imposing a worldview on him, one he disagreed with, and he's right. This is the state compelling speech on a matter of immense cultural and religious importance. It's the state requiring a person to declare something that they do not believe. The teacher said that he had tried to work out a respectful agreement with the student and the school, but that the school rejected his efforts. His lawyer told reporters that public schools have no business compelling people to express ideological beliefs that they don't hold. This isn't just about a pronoun. This is about forcing someone to endorse an ideology under threat of losing their job. That's neither legal nor constitutional. Even further, the school district does not have a specific guidance or official policy regarding how teachers and staff are to handle these scenarios or use male and female pronouns. So he hasn't even violated a school policy. And get this, during this meeting in front of the board, the principal at this high school himself accidentally used a female pronoun, not the student's new preferred male pronoun, for the student during the board hearing. But that didn't stop the school's principal from saying that, quote, "I can't think of a worse way to treat a child than what was happening." really, you can't think of a worse way to treat a child than a teacher accidentally referring to them as their biologically correct gender pronoun. In fact, it can be argued that agreeing with and helping to facilitate a child's gender confusion is worse than using the wrong pronoun. Dr. Paul McHugh is a distinguished service professor of psychiatry and a professor of behavioral sciences at Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. And for 26 years, he served as the psychiatrist in chief at Johns Hopkins Hospital. And it was there in the 1980s that he studied those who had sex reassignment surgery and found that they were no more mentally and psychologically healthy after the surgery than before. In fact, he concluded that psychiatrists would do better to concentrate on fixing minds and not genitalia. Children who are conflicted about their sexual identity and their families should have access to compassionate, sensitive counseling, counseling that would help the child work through any confusion and find true healing and embrace their bodily reality. And at the very least, those who disagree with transgender ideology, such as this teacher in Virginia, should be free to live out their lives without coercion by the state or a school board threatening them and taking away their livelihood because they don't agree with their beliefs. This decision by the school board to fire the teacher has caused an uproar in the community, and less than 24 hours after issuing their decision to fire him, students from the school rallied to show their support, staging a walkout and chanting, "Bring him back." According to LifeSite News, one student said, quote, "He's an amazing man. I think he really was going with what he believed was right, and it's really unfair that he's being punished for that, especially in such a dramatic way." Another student said, "The school board is trying to force the teacher to conform to their ideologies with the threat of removal from the school." And the students also made it very clear that their protest was not about the transgender student, that they blamed the school board for the termination and what happened, saying the child is going through a lot. We shouldn't be directing this towards her. We should be directing this towards the school board. The fire teacher's attorney noted that the peaceful tone of the student walkout contrasted dramatically with the treatment that students received from the school administration when they had previously attempted to support their teacher. This issue is not going away. There are more and more of these types of stories, and we need people who are willing to stand up and speak the truth, but also to do so compassionately. Because as these types of scenarios keep arising, the question that it leads to is, who's next? As more of these conflicts keep popping up, Americans have to be allowed to disagree and to think and debate these issues freely. No one should fear losing their job because they believe that men and women are biological realities that are not interchangeable. Unfortunately, government coercion as a weapon of the culture wars is now spreading across professions. Florists, bakers, photographers, wedding venues, even farmers, now public school teachers. In every instance, the government is penalizing people who hold a particular set of beliefs. For example, a Catholic hospital was sued for declining to remove a biological female's healthy uterus to pursue gender transition surgery. And two parents, we talked about this recently on the show, lost custody of their teenage daughter for refusing to allow their child to take testosterone and identify as a boy. This is all really, really troubling. When authorities try to force people to act contrary to their beliefs, especially when people who are being sued or attacked or threatened to be punished by the government have only been living peacefully according to their beliefs, it's a blatant abuse of power and one that should be concerning to everyone. That's why we have to protect and preserve religious freedom and freedom of conscience and free speech, because those freedoms are for everyone, regardless of your beliefs or religion. In a pluralistic society like ours, we have to be able to agree to disagree and live and let live. It is not the government's job to pick winners and losers and force everyone to agree on the most controversial issues of our time. These foundational principles and freedoms are the foundation of our country and the bedrock of our society. They are what have made America a beacon of hope and liberty for the rest of the world. And so while here in the United States we're dealing with things like VeggieTales being racist and firing teachers for using a student's incorrect preferred gender pronoun, people and believers over in China are being arrested and thrown in jail because of their beliefs. And it's continuing to get worse. Chinese authorities arrested more than 100 members of China's Early Rain Covenant Church, including the lead pastor, in a widespread raid that began last Sunday evening. Early Rain Covenant is one of the best-known unregistered Christian house churches in China. According to China Aid, the crackdown began at 6 p.m. last Sunday as authorities showed up at members' homes and at the seminary in southwest China. Officials arrested Pastor Wang Yi and his wife, as well as an assistant deacon who was later released and is now under full government surveillance. The police said that the church is, quote, an illegal organization and will not allow them to hold any more gatherings, and the fate of the head pastor is still unknown. According to the Family Research Council, some elders were able to escape into hiding, others were less fortunate, and some went straight to Pastor Wang Yi's home, but the pastor and his wife were nowhere to be found. The home was a ransacked mess, and this is another indication that China's latest crackdown is something that everyone, including the international community, needs to take seriously. Social media channels, cell phone discussions, and personal accounts were all blocked by Chinese authorities. Even the church's telephone line was cut. Another church leader is, quote, being watched around the clock by security personnel in his own home. Tony Perkins, the president of Family Research Council, says that President Trump has a chance to apply more pressure to China during trade negotiations due to the continued escalation of religious persecution in China. In the meantime, Vice President Pence, Secretary Mike Pompeo, and Ambassador at Large for Religious Freedom Sam Brownback need to continue to call out the Chinese government for its broken promises and egregious religious freedom violations. And this is a quote from one of the house church members who said, "Even if we are down to our last five, worship and gatherings will still go on because our faith is real. Persecution is a price worth paying for the Lord. We would rather live through it than to hide our faith, and we hope more Chinese churches will speak up and stand with us." And I believe that churches and Christians in America must do the same. This is why people have to remain engaged in government and politics and policy, because if we remain silent on the sidelines, we will watch freedom slowly slip away. That's why Nebraska Family Alliance is engaging with government at every single level, federal, statewide, and local. Laws endorse and enforce a belief system. Whose is it going to be? We get to decide. But we know that good laws and policy alone will not solve a country or a state's problems. Hearts and minds have to change too. And that's why NFA is in the business of both impacting government and culture. And so today, we're excited to announce a huge opportunity to make a lasting impact in Nebraska. To celebrate NFA's 30th anniversary, Ministry Friends are providing a $50,000 year-end match gift challenge. Dollar for dollar will be matched up to $50,000. Nebraska Family Alliance's work is 100% donor-funded, and we are inviting you to rise to the challenge this Christmas and double the hope with a gift by December 31st that will be doubled up to $50,000. This is an incredible opportunity, and we are so grateful for the generosity of our ministry friends for providing this gift match challenge. And partnering with Nebraska Family Alliance financially is an investment for a better future. It's an investment in protecting religious freedom and in changing hearts and minds for the gospel. This is an opportunity to help bring about lasting positive change. It was just over 30 years ago when a small Baptist church in rural Nebraska was padlocked, the pastor was arrested, and praying citizens were physically removed from the church, all for the crime of starting a Christian homeschool in Nebraska. And that's actually how Nebraska Family Alliance was founded. Because concerned moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, pastors, and Christian radio broadcasters responded. And they said, we're not going to allow this to happen on our watch. They understood that it is we, the people, who are to secure the blessings of liberty and that our freedoms are granted by God, not government. And because of their work and advocacy, after several years of turmoil, the Nebraska legislature changed the law, freeing parents to once again raise and teach their children according to their Christian beliefs as they ought. And it was from this turmoil that a dream was made to ensure Nebraska is a state where God is honored, families thrive, life is cherished, and religious freedom flourishes. By God's grace, NFA has lived out our mission to advance family, freedom, and life for the last 30 years by influencing policy, mobilizing prayer, and empowering people. But we know that protecting our freedoms requires real work and constant diligence from you, from me, from us, working together so that the door remains open to the gospel and every individual can reach their God-given potential. That's what this is all about. Think for a moment, what if each of us influenced our friends, neighbors, and legislators to equip and elect statesmen, promote policy, and serve an effective alliance all committed to a common vision of upholding Judeo-Christian values? That's what we're doing at Nebraska Family Alliance. America's founders pledged their lives, fortune, and sacred honor to defend their God-ordained freedoms. What will we give today to ensure that our freedoms and the right to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness are protected and preserved for all Americans tomorrow? Our children and grandchildren are depending on our faithfulness today so that together we can assure Nebraska is the best place to live, work, and raise a family. So this Christmas, we humbly ask that you would prayerfully consider financially partnering with Nebraska Family Alliance. And if you make a donation by December 31st, dollar for dollar will be doubled up to $50,000. This is our opportunity to make a lasting impact for family, freedom, and life, and we would love for you to be a part of that. For more information, you can visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. Donations can be made online at our website, or you can give us a call at 402-477-3191. That's 402-477-3191. We would love to talk to you. NFA is the longest standing pro-family organization in the state, and we have been your voice for family values at the state capitol for the last 30 years. And with your help this Christmas season, we can be that voice again for the next 30 years to come as well. The Nebraska legislature is gearing up for another session just weeks away, starting in January, where they will be debating and voting on these big issues affecting you, your family, your business, your church. And you can count on NFA to be there to defend family freedom and life and ensure marriages and families can thrive, life is cherished and protected, and religious liberty is affirmed and celebrated. As always, for more information, you can visit our website, NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. That's all the time we have for this week. I'm your host, Nate Graz, Policy Director at Nebraska Family Alliance, hoping you will join us again next week. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.